Physical production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, feeling frustrated. If you're frustrated with a particular situation or tired of dealing with frustrating people, we're going to help you catch a break. Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, feeling frustrated. And we all get frustrated from time to time. It's never any fun. But if there is someone or something in particular that is causing you to feel frustrated or making you feel fed up with that problem that you have to handle over and over and over again, we are here to help you catch a break and find the solutions you're looking for. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. We want to help you end this hour a lot less frustrated than you began it. Sound good?
Sounds
give us a call.
Wonderful to me.
877-573-7825.
Because, of course, we're always frustrated at one point or another in our lives, in our day, because, you know, we were created to live in a certain peace and harmony with God and how he created everything and how it's supposed to all work in unity with him and then Adam and Eve, right? And all the sin that's come into the world since then. And because we're all sharing a planet as sinful people, we're very likely to frustrate each other and ourselves on a fairly often basis. The question is, what do we do with that frustration? Because everything's always calling us back to harmony with God and even with each other. So what do we do with it? A lot of us would throw up our hands and say, fine, God will work it out in the next life. And when we get to heaven or purgatory or, God forbid, when we're in hell, it'll just all sort itself out. But we're meant to work on it in the here and the now and not just live in a constant state of frustration.
So we're here to help you feel a little less frustrated today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us, are you dealing with a particular challenge in your life or relationships that's causing you to feel frustrated? Are you just feeling frustrated in general and you can't put your finger on why? Or maybe you're feeling fed up with a particular problem that keeps coming up over and over again that's complicating your life or causing your relationships to feel strained.
Or let's be honest, is there a particular person that's frustrating you? Maybe it's not a particular problem, because those problems have been stacking up for quite a while because of the way that person handles life or handles their relationship with you. And it's just driving you kind of crazy, or really crazy, and you want to know what to do with all the frustration you're feeling with that person or those problems. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Every day here on More to Life, we take a look at how St. John Paul II's theology of the body can give us some light into the situations we're talking about. And as we look at it today, we have to remember that emotions are part of our bodies. Thoughts trigger the brain to send a wash of chemicals through our bodies, causing us to feel this way or that, and motivating us to respond to things that happen to us. The theology of the body reminds us that God created all the structures of our body, including our emotions, to work for our good and the good of others. Of course, because we live in a sinful world, as I was saying, our feelings don't always work the way they're supposed to. But there is actually a godly intention and a godly call hiding below the surface of every emotion that we feel, even frustration. What could God possibly have as a purpose for our frustration? Well, when we feel frustrated, it can help us to see frustration as a sign that the Holy Spirit is sort of tugging at our sleeve, saying, hey, let's take a minute to talk about this and then make a plan together.
You know, our natural human response to frustration tends to be to get disgusted and give up and say nothing will ever change. Or, alternatively, we get aggravated and try to push through on our own power. But you've probably noticed how both of those options often just make everything worse. To discover the Holy Spirit moving behind our frustration, we've got to bring that feeling to God. We need to pray, Lord, I am frustrated, but help me see what you want me to make of this and how you want to work through me so I can respond to this situation in a way that will help me glorify you, you know, work for the good of the people involved, and help me be my best self. And when we practice this prayerful approach to frustration, we consecrate that frustrating person or that frustrating situation to Christ. And he can transform it into an opportunity to experience his love, build his kingdom, and grow in grace. And that's better than just beating your head into a wall.
That's for sure.
So if you're tired of doing that and you want to figure out what it means to apply these ideas to your life and relationships, let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. We're talking about dealing with the frustrating people and situations in your life and finding graceful solutions and ways to catch that break. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you those frustrating people and situations that just make us feel like giving up or just pushing through on our own power and making things worse. Help us to remember, to see frustration as your Holy Spirit gently tugging at our sleeve and saying, step back and let's look at this together. When we're feeling frustrated, help us to remember to bring those problems and people to you and to ask you to teach us to respond to them in ways that will glorify you, work for the ultimate good of everyone involved, and help us to be our best selves as well, so that we can use those frustrating situations as a ladder to climb closer to you and to grow in the virtues that help us to live every part of life, even the frustrating bits, as a gift. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on Word of Life, our show is titled Feeling Frustrated. And if you are frustrated with a particular situation or tired of dealing with a frustrating person in your life and you're looking for some answers, we want to help you catch a break today on More to Life and feel less frustrated by the end of the hour than you were when you began it. Let's take your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jim, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hey there, Jim. Welcome to More to Life.
Hello. I have a situation, a frustrating situation, namely. My wife and I are, I would say, traditional Catholics. I have three children living at home, mm-hmm. 19, 17, and 12. My 19-year-old is pregnant, unmarried, looking to get married with the guy, but mm-hmm. he's in the Army right now and they can't do it.
Okay.
I'm looking for a way to, a grace-filled way to tell my 12-year-old daughter, because my pregnant daughter will be living at home probably until the baby is born. How do we explain this to my 12-year-old?
And so what have you said anything at all so far? What does your 12-year-old know about the birds and the bees and that sort of thing? Can you give me some context here?
So far, she knows animals have boys and girls and they have babies and mm-hmm. so do mommies and daddies. But as far as actual sit down talk about the sex part of it, we have not.
That's fine. I just want to get an understanding. And have you talked anything about your daughter's situation, your older daughter's situation with her at all so far?
As far as we know, neither of them, my 17-year-old son or 12-year-old daughter, don't know anything about it.
Okay.
She's 2 months pregnant, by the way.
Okay.
So it's pretty early in the game. I mean, and you know, you might be surprised to know that they, they may know more than you think. But that said, you know, how to approach this. You know, I think we talk about this actually in our book Beyond the Birds and the Bees, which is all about conveying the Catholic vision of love to our kids at every age and stage. But I think that a good way to talk about this in general is to explain, look, you know, there is a special hug that men and women can share that allows them to be able to have babies. And God asks us to save that hug for marriage, because when we do, that really guarantees that the babies that we have will have a mother and a father, and they deserve to have that secure kind of loving relationship. Now, we can, because of our own brokenness and struggles, sometimes if we share that hug outside of marriage, and we can have babies outside of marriage, but it means that we've put ourselves and the babies that we have at risk of not having that intact family that God wants for all of his children. And so, you know, the issue here, you know, is not that your sister is a bad person, or that we don't love her, or that we don't accept and celebrate this baby. It's just that we're concerned that we want her and her baby to have the family that God wants her to be able to have.
And the baby's father, yes, to have everything that God wants them to have, and the fullest joy of all of this. And this is why God set up certain, you know, systems in this, so that it will give us the fullest joy. When we go out of that, it can cause real sadness and issues, but we're happy about the baby, because every gift of life is a gift from God.
So we're going to do our best to support her and to love her and to be glad that she is making the commitment to having this baby, and we're thrilled that this child is coming into our lives, and it's our job to be there for her. You know, but, you know, in terms of your own choices, you know, we really hope that you'll make the choice to share that hug only in marriage, because we don't want you to ever have to worry about having the family that God wants you to have and providing the security for the children that God wants to give you.
And to knowing the dignity of being fully committed to someone in a sacramental way before you make that choice, because that gives you the fullest dignity, the fullest sense of love for each other, working for each other's good, the best, and that sincere promise that you make to each other and to God. Mm-hmm. And so while we're elated that God is giving us a grandchild, it's hard to deal with the way this has happened and some of the ramifications of this. So we'll all be here to support her and to love the baby. But we can, you know, you might even, and I think it's fair to ask your two other children, what's your initial reaction to this? Is it shock? Is it surprise? Are there questions here? We can love each other and still feel the experience of shock or dismay, or sometimes if we're a Catholic family that's been working in a direction of living a certain way together and something like this happens, we can even feel a tiny bit of a sense of betrayal. Even young children can, because they expect things to go a certain way. They know how it should. They intuit that. So it's okay to just ask them, you know, what are you feeling? How can we help you through all this as mom and I help each other through the surprise of all of this?
And then once you've had the conversations, I'd really ask that you all start praying together as
yes.
a family about this. You know, every day in your family prayer time, then if you're not getting that now, start it. But every day in that family prayer time, really say, you know, Lord, help us as a family to be here for our daughter and for the baby, and please lead them and guide them in the ways that you would have them go, so that they can have the life that you want them to have, and help us to support her and help her to feel loved, and know how precious she is to you and to us. You know, and you make that part of your daily family prayer time so that she feels supported. You all continue to encourage each other to find ways to be supportive, but you are also giving the whole situation to God and asking Him to lead you all through it. Jim, as I said, we do talk more about having these kinds of conversations in Beyond the Birds and the Bees. You know, how do you talk about these sensitive topics with kids at every age and stage? We go from birth to young adulthood in addressing all those different topics that come up related to living out and passing on the Catholic vision of love. So if in addition, I think these suggestions will get you started and probably even get you most of the way. But if you want more background on that and how to make sure that you're providing the support you need to the other kids, especially to continue to grow in the Catholic vision of love beyond the birds and the bees, Raising Sexually Whole and Holy Kids is a great resource for you. You can pick it up at CatholicCounselors.com. And again, the name of the book, Beyond the Birds and the Bees, at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. Thanks for the call, Jim. We've added your family to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the program. 877-573-7825. We're talking about frustration on today's program. You know, we often feel frustrated with different things, and our response to that frustration tends to either be to throw up our hands in disgust and say, ugh, nothing's ever going to change, and then we just give up. Or we say, ugh, I can't believe I have to deal with this. And we just try to push on through on our own power. But, you know, this theology of the body approach to our emotions reminds us that God is speaking to us through all of our feelings. And when we feel frustrated, Lisa and I like to think that it's the Holy Spirit tugging on our sleeve saying, step back a minute, let's talk about this. And it gives us a chance to really consecrate that moment or that person to God and ask for His grace in how to deal with that person or that situation. Let us help you find the solutions that you're looking for in the face of those situations and people that are frustrating you. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll continue taking your calls. We'll also be joined by Julia Dozelski, who is the Assistant Director for Marriage, Family, and Youth at the USCCB Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. She's going to be sharing some insights on dealing with frustration in family life when More to Life continues after the break.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray. My latest book, Jesus, the Master Psychologist, Listen to Him, talks about how Jesus was 2,000 years ahead of modern enlightened psychology. If He's God, He knows the absolute best way to live, whether psychology agrees or whether it doesn't. Go to AveMariaRadio.net to get your copy. Jesus will tell you the best way to live.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about frustration on our show titled Feeling Frustrated. If you are feeling frustrated with a particular situation or person in your life, we want to help you not just catch a break, but find the solutions that will help you break through. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Julia Dazelski. She is the Assistant Director for Marriage and Family Life with the USCCB's Secretariat for Laity, Marriage, Family, and Youth. Julia, welcome to More to Life.
Well, thank you, Greg and Lisa. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Well, we always appreciate you taking the time to be with us. So you wanted to share some insights on sort of the roots of frustration and how we can deal with it faithfully.
Right. You know, we all deal with so many frustrations, minor or major, and they, you know, they throw a wrench into our day or into our ability to manage ourselves and the people and things around us. And I think that's a key to the riddle, the realization that we are simply not in control of every situation or person. You know, currently I'm frustrated that my 3.5-year-old daughter refuses to potty train, or that my sourdough starter never starts. Or of course the dishwasher was loaded wrong again.
There are so many people just nodding their head with you.
You know, the list just goes on. But I think the key to the riddle is that the realization that we're simply not in control of everything. I can't control my daughter. She just simply will not potty train. I can't control the sourdough or my husband, who's that culprit behind the dishwasher. So, you know, just yesterday we received a family prayer kit from Family Theater Productions, which includes a prayer journal for intentions. And as I started to fill it out, it was the usual, you know, for healing for so-and-so, for the conversion of so-and-so, et cetera. And then I realized, well, you know, I can and I should add my frustrations too. I have to give them to God. So even though they might seem minor, they do, you know, they do bubble up inside. So I wrote, you know, for peace in the matter dealing with X, Y, and Z, for wisdom concerning the situation X. And on it went. And so writing the frustrating situations that are, you know, that can really bother us, and just asking for that ability to let go of the need to control. I think that was really the essential point that is necessary to remember, that when we're frustrated, there's something that we're just not in control of. But God can take control of the situation and help us realign, you know, our focus. So bring it to prayer. You know, prayer as a couple, if there's something bothering the two of you, prayer as a family, if there's something that's bothering everybody, and prayer to sustain you in those frustrating moments.
Well, and I really like the way you're asking, you're recommending that we all pray about these things, because, you know, I mean, it's good to step out of our lives and take some time, you know, with God, you know, to kind of step out of things and go find God in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or, you know, to a special prayer time or whatever. But the kind of prayer you're talking about, especially in the face of our frustrations, brings God into the moment. And it consecrates that moment by asking God to help to speak to us through that experience of frustration and to help us respond in a virtuous way to those frustrations. And I think it really emphasizes the idea that there's no part of our life that's too silly or too small or too simple that God doesn't want to be part of it. And that's, I think, the most inspiring part of what you're sharing with us, bringing those little things, those little frustrations even to Him, allows us to feel like He's holding our hand through the day.
Absolutely. And it takes reminding, because sometimes we really do gravitate towards just praying for the big things, you know, the big list items. But God does want to be a part even of those very small things. And building that relationship upon the small things is really what matters too. Bringing Him into every aspect of our day, every moment and every frustration. And that really builds the rapport with God that He wants to have with us.
Amen. Julia, thank you so much for being with us. We always appreciate your time and your wisdom. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about the ways you are supporting healthy marriage and family life, they can go to the USCCB's website, foryourmarriage.org. That's foryourmarriage.org. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about the frustrations that you might be feeling in your life or relationships. You know, one of the things that we're hitting over and over here is that when we're dealing with frustrations, you know, our natural temptation is to either just throw up our hands in disgust, give up and settle, or to say, and then push our way through it as best we can on our own power. But as Lisa and I were talking about earlier in the program, and as Julia was just reminding us, there is no part of our lives, no matter how small or simple or silly it might seem, that God doesn't want to be a part of. And so those frustrations that we feel, we like to think of them as the tugging of the Holy Spirit tugging on our sleeve and saying, hey, come here, let's have a sidebar.
Yeah, let's talk about this, because something is not right. If you're feeling frustrated, you're not feeling in unity with God about something. Something's off, but God's bigger than that something that's off, and he can help us deal with it, but we need to remember to bring him into it.
And again, it's not just praying, Lord, take this away, or you know, deal with this frustration. I mean, that's good. That God accepts any prayer we want to give him. But we make our own hearts more receptive to his grace when we ask him to teach us, not just to take it away from us, but to show us what to do, to help us walk step by step through this frustration, through this challenge with the person, so that we can respond to it in a way that allows us to glorify God and feel connected to him, to work for the good of everybody involved, and to be our best self too. And what I really liked about Julia's suggestion here is she's bringing in the virtues too. You know, what's the quality? What's the virtue? What are the qualities? What are the strengths that I need to deal with this situation well? Not just to be nice, not just to go along to get along, but to be effective in the face of this. Do I need wisdom? Do I need honesty? Do I need compassion? Do I need assertiveness? What are those qualities or strengths or virtues that would help me respond better to this? Lord, help me to respond in that way. We're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Tell us what or who is frustrating you, and we'll help you find the grace that you need to get the solutions you're looking for. We'll talk more with you right after the break.
If you have sustained conversation with non-Catholic Christians, one of the things that always comes up is, why do you confess to a priest? Why would you go to a priest when you can go straight to God? I would say, well, look, I went to Jesus, I looked at his word, and it told me to go to a priest. It is interesting, one of the first things you notice right towards the end of the Gospel of John, that Jesus himself determined to forgive and retain sins through human intermediaries. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And Jesus commissioned his apostles on earth to speak in his name, to forgive sins or retain sins, not just metaphorically, but metaphysically.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
In the church, we speak of 7 gifts: wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, loyalty, courage, and reverence or fear of the Lord. When I speak about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and these gifts come, they give you the ability to go beyond your strength. If you're struggling to be a good person, a good member of your religion, you know it's a struggle and you don't always make it. I've been at it many, many decades, and I still struggle and trip and fall and have holes in my socks. Struggling to be a good person, something that we need help at. And this help comes to us by these gifts of the Holy Spirit.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Many people say that after baby comes, marital intimacy is over. But that is absolutely not true. You just need to be creative. Greg and I love going out on dates to parks, performances, and restaurants. So after we had our children, we still went out on dates. But we brought the baby along. We sat by an exit, asked for a to-go box with the meal as soon as it came, and brought quiet activities for the baby. We went to a few favorite places repeatedly, and most of all, we went into the date expecting an adventure. While you may occasionally have to leave a restaurant or an event with a fussy baby,
chances are the date will work out just fine, and you can maintain the intimacy with your spouse without sacrificing bonding time with your new baby. Your social life isn't over when a new baby comes. In fact, it's just beginning to get interesting. For more Catholic parenting tips, visit us at moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today we're talking about frustration on More to Life. How do we deal gracefully with those frustrating people and situations that are really getting under our skin? Well, don't. The two things not to do. Number one, don't throw up your hands and say, well, this is never going to change, and just give up. And don't just try to push through on your own power. Experience frustration as that gentle tugging on your sleeve from the Holy Spirit that says, let's talk about this. And then find a way forward. Let us help you do that today on More to Life. The number to call is 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Greg, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Greg, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Oh, thank you very much for... can you hear me?
We can. Thanks. What can we do for you today?
yes, thank you so much. When I, I'm traveling, I'm in Nebraska right now, and I heard you talk about frustration, and I said, oh, my goodness, I've got a call. My situation, and I'm trying to be, I'll try to be as brief as I can, okay, and you can work with me here.
Go right ahead.
Okay, yes, my son. He's now 34 years old.
Okay.
He came into the world, a beautiful, you know, everything, and I coached him in ball, and I did everything, you know, I did everything, took him to church, my wife and I. And
so what's going on with him now? Sounds like you've put a lot of effort into your relationship.
There's a lot of stuff. Okay, right now, his mother passed away 3 years ago. My wife, a beautiful wife of 40 years, and he's been a mama's boy. I lost control of him basically when he was in his mid-teens. His mother bought him a motorcycle because he was going to run away from home. Let me tell you something else about him. Dr. Dobson had a survey one time, and I took it. He was 9 out of 10 on that chart where you're off the charts for strong-willed. He is the strongest-willed kid I ever had. You had to just guide him. You couldn't
now,
do anything.
Now, it says, though, that you told our screener that your son is now remarried, has 3 kids, but that you're supporting them, and that since your wife passed, he's been kind of turning to you for help with everything. What does that mean exactly?
Well, okay, that means he wanted to be a stay-at-home father. Okay. All right, except one thing. His wife didn't make enough money to support that, and they're homeschooling, so they have a lot of responsibility. So they've leaned on me for financial help, and I sold a mobile home that I had, gave him the cash, and I said, here, take care of business. It was a nice wad of money, and, you know, then he comes right back and he needs help with this and this. So my friends have told me I've created my own monster. It's my problem, and I don't feel exactly like that. I did my best.
Well, but you're enabling him. So here's him. He's a 34-year-old man that needs to learn how to grow up and take responsibility for his own life. So let's talk about what is it? How can you be helpful in ways that are actually helpful
and that allow you to feel still connected to your son in some way? Because I'm hearing, you know, you were grieving the fact that you sort of lost him in teenage years. You've worked so hard in his childhood years. So I think your motivation is, especially in light of losing your wife, you want to feel connected to your son. You're doing it in ways, though, that are actually enabling his own destruction and will only end up causing real stress in your relationship instead of closeness.
So, number one, if you want to maintain connection, then create certain rituals that enable you to get some one-on-one time with him or time with the family, you know, whether that means going out for coffee with him on Saturday morning or, you know, whatever.
Just going out fishing, you know, hanging out, whatever that is.
Having certain rituals that allow you to stay connected and build that relationship that don't involve, you know, him coming to you for things that he should be doing for himself. Now, when it comes to the question of how do we make sure that we're being helpful in ways that are actually helpful. I mean, you know, you want to love your son. You do love your son, and you want to show him that you love him. But sometimes if we don't have a healthy understanding of what that means, we can end up getting in our own way. So to love somebody means to work for their good. And part of working for somebody's good can be supporting them, giving them gifts, providing financial support. But if I give somebody a gift and I love them, I need to know that they know how to use that gift well. And if I know that they can't use that gift well, and giving it to them actually hurts them, then I can't give them that gift if I love them, right? So when you're praying about how to be helpful to your son, you need to ask yourself, are the gifts that I'm giving him, the financial support that I'm giving him, actually helping him be a grown-up responsible person, or are they making up for the fact that he's not a grown-up responsible person? And if it's the latter, you can't give him those gifts anymore because you're feeding his destruction. You're not loving him. You're actually enabling him and destroying him. And that's a hard message to hear and a hard one to process. But as Christians, to love somebody means to work for their good. And everything we do have to have, we can't just intend to work for their good. It has to actually produce good fruit. And what you're doing isn't producing good fruit. So the rule of thumb here in being generous to others is to make sure that you are working hard to help other people, but never working harder than they are on their own problems. So when your son comes to you for help and you say, look, I've given you the money from the mobile home, I provided these other supports, I love you, but I can't keep doing this because you're just using this to destroy yourself. So I need you to go out and get a job. And then he'll say, but I want to be a stay-at-home dad. And well, that's a beautiful goal that you should be working toward. Absolutely, I support that goal. But you need to figure out how to make that happen for yourself. And for right now, clearly, you're being called to go to work because you don't have the money to be that, right? And make him deal with the reality of his life and support him in living up to the responsibilities that he has taken on. That's the best way that you can love him and be the father that he needs right now, Greg. We talk more about this in my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. It's a book on how to set charitable boundaries that allow us to be present to others but not get caught up in the drama of it all. So I think that would be a great follow-up to what we've suggested here that will clarify, you know, how, in fact, you are creating your own monster, as your friends tell you, and how to begin to break out of that in ways that enable you to be loving to your son but not enable your son's destruction. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's talk with you about dealing with those frustrating people and frustrating situations.
We're talking now with Marcia, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska on Spirit Catholic Radio.
Hi, Marcia. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. I have early dementia, and I'm 73, family history. My husband and I are doing okay, but I can tell that it's a heavy load on him because of my memory. And I'm, you know, trying to take notes or remember things, but of course it's almost useless. You can't remember that you can't remember sometimes, so you don't
sure.
write things down. So just wanted to know if there was anything that you, any insight you could lend to the situation. Thank you.
Well, so to add to the situation so that you and your husband would be able to coexist better, to get along better, because it says on our board that, you know, sometimes he gets frustrated. Is that the situation? Okay.
Yeah, well, I get frustrated with myself as well. But
of course.
It's usually when I see his frustration, but I'm not blaming him.
Of course.
I know it's me. Yeah.
Well, it's the situation. You know, please don't blame yourself. It's not like you walk around trying to forget
right.
things or intentionally got dementia. My heart goes out to you both. My mother had early onset Alzheimer's disease as early as 65 years old. And so I've walked this walk a bit. And Marcia, the first thing that I'd like to mention is that when he gets frustrated, a large part of frustration in this situation is fear and grief. You know, he's seeing this woman who he loves and has spent his life with, and when those moments of forgetfulness happen, it's triggering a grief reaction. He's losing little bits of you, he feels. And that's causing him to be afraid and causing him to be sad. So it's coming out usually as frustration in situations.
And you're
like
afraid
that.
Too, right?
You
and so you're experiencing that frustration as well. And when we're feeling afraid of a change that we're having to face, we tend not to talk about it. We want to pretend that it's not happening. And then what happens then is we get frustrated because we're surprised when that problem rears its ugly head. You know, I want to go through the day pretending that everything's okay, and then all of a sudden my wife can't remember, and that reminds me that we're struggling with this, and I don't want to deal with it. So then that comes out as frustration. The only way to really address that is to address it head on and say to each other, look, you know, we are afraid. We're both afraid of what we're going through. We're both afraid of losing each other. I'm afraid of losing myself. And you know, instead of getting frustrated with ourselves and with each other, how can we work together to draw closer to each other through it?
And I will say this, Marcia, I'm hearing you trying to take the blame for this. You know, it's not him, it's me. I'm frustrating him. Most of the time when we feel frustrated for anything as human beings, we look for the thing or the person to blame, and usually the person to blame. Because we're taught as children, if we can find the culprit and they can be punished, then everything will be fine. And that's just not the way life works in the real world. There's no point in blaming you or him for the frustration. There's acknowledging it and then working on ways to deal with it together, to understand each other's feelings, perhaps to even get into some counseling together to figure out how to quell some of that fear, how to go through this together in a way that makes you feel connected, even though you're feeling like you're losing bits of yourself moment by moment. Doing that can really help both of you not have as much frustration or as much elevated emotion. The other thing that you mentioned, but it's not just you writing it down. You mentioned you're trying to write things down, but then you forget you have to even look at it. Working together to write down the important things, especially routines in your day. Often as couples who have lived together for dozens and dozens of years, we live in sort of a system or a routine that we've never really acknowledged. We just kind of flow with it. And now, as you need reminders of that, it's important for the two of you to sit down when you're on days when you're feeling good and really write down together, what do we do and at what time? Not in a regimented way, but this is when we usually get up. This is when we have breakfast and what we usually have. We enjoy a walk together at this time of day. All those little things that make the two of you the couple you are and allow you to kind of flow through your day, if you can now write that down so you can join in it together, and when you're feeling, either of you, a little discombobulated by the day and the situation, you can refer to that and say, all right, we're frustrated about forgetting this, but we know the next thing we do in our day is have lunch together or have a cup of coffee together in the afternoon or take that walk or have that prayer time. And it brings you back to the couple that you've been for so long and allows you to really institute some connection during the day that will probably help both of you feel a lot better.
And there are other little techniques like that that we could give you. But I think the most important thing that I really want you to take from this is having that upfront conversation mm-hmm. about your feelings, about where you're at, about the transition that you're going through. And, you know, start that conversation on your own. But if you find that it's challenging, I really recommend that when any couple is going through a serious change, whether they're facing a chronic illness like you are or experiencing some other major upheaval, it's really good to just kind of check in with a professional marriage therapist to help you manage that transition as well as you can. So start having these conversations that we're suggesting on your own, but maybe look into a good marriage-friendly therapist that can help you guys negotiate this transition. I'm not saying that there's problems in your marriage. I'm saying you need to learn some skills to deal with this well. And while you have the time to do that, I would really encourage you to take advantage of it. You can learn more at marriagefriendlytherapists.com for a local referral or contact us at catholiccounselors.com if you're interested in pursuing that option. But Marcia, we've added you and your husband to our More to Life prayer list, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. 877-573-7825. We're talking about frustration today and how to deal gracefully with those frustrating people and situations that come up daily. 877-573-7825. And now it's time, as we head to our break, for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 and 35.
Do not throw away your confidence. It will have great recompense. You need endurance to do the will of God and receive what he has promised.
I just loved this scripture when I came across it today.
It's not one we hear very often when we go to Mass, and I think it's surprising. The fact that it even says, do not throw away your confidence. Some of us as Christians feel like, oh, we're not supposed to be confident. That's sort of prideful. But it's saying here, no, it will have great recompense because our confidence should be in God and who he created us to be.
That's right. So when we face those frustrating situations, you know, and we feel like we don't have the confidence we need to deal with it, we need to remind ourselves to have confidence in God's providence and go to him and say, teach me what to do here, Lord, so that we can have the endurance, as St. Paul says, to do the will of God and receive what he has promised. Hebrews 10, 34 and 35. With that, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with those frustrating people and situations and finding the graceful solutions you are seeking. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue right after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Celebrate the beauty and sanctity of humanity with the Gift of Life Novena Bracelet. Designed exclusively for EWTN, it features 9 prayer beads, a St. Benedict crucifix, a miraculous medal, and medal of St. Anne with her daughter, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Ask for the prayers of these holy saints with the Gift of Life Novena Bracelet, now available for just $39.95. To order, go to EWTNRC.com and search for item number 739.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking with you about frustration today on More to Life, and those frustrating people and situations that are getting under your skin. How do you handle them gracefully? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Karen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri on Covenant Radio.
Hi, Karen. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I have a frustration with the situation that in 2 days my daughter will be getting married. She met a gentleman on the phone in January. They started to date in person late February, considered themselves a couple within, I don't know, a couple months. And on May, I think 15th or 13th, was engaged. And is getting married July 24th in the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And my frustration is, and my concerns are kind of double. How do I deal with this going forward with my relationship with my family and my daughter? And how do I deal with the frustration I have with the Catholic Church that I grew up thinking that 6 month marriage prep was kind
so
of.
So help me understand. It sounds like you're concerned about the relationship. Do you have concerns about the guy, about the way they relate to each other? I mean, what's the concern exactly?
My concern first is that I think that that's a very quick time to get married, and I thought the church had a policy of 6 month marriage prep. And his spiritual director
it's not universal.
Is his priest. Right. And we tried to speak to them about giving them more time because my daughter didn't date very many people before then. And I thought this would be the perfect example of giving them more time. But the priest would not listen, was not empathetic. And
what I kind of spoke over you for a second, though. And you said that he is her spiritual director or his spiritual director. Who is the priest?
The priest is a close family friend of the fiance and a close and a spiritual director of the fiance for 13 years. So
he's a very godly man, is what you're saying.
Right. Well, he didn't treat us too well when we spoke to him about trying to, like, see if these two could get
No, I didn't mean the priest.
Not
I mean your
the
fiancé.
Priest, to your future
right.
son-in-law.
Is a very faithful.
No, the priest. The priest was very non-empathetic and did
okay.
not want to try.
So, look, you've got issues with the how quickly this is going, and you're having a hard time wrapping your head around this. But I want you to back up a second and really look at what you got here. You got presumably, you know, you're saying your daughter is faithful, and she's marrying a very faithful man who, I mean, it's hard to find a spiritual director, much less find a young person who's got one, who's been seeing them for 13 years. So he takes his faith seriously, whatever other, you know, challenges he might be facing. You got a lot going for you here. But Karen, I don't want you to offload your responsibility as the mother, and hope, you didn't talk anything about your husband here, but you know, as parents, okay, yes, it's good that the church have good quality marriage prep. Honestly, we need to do a lot better on that front. I'm consistently frustrated with how poor our marriage prep process really is. And it varies from place to place. It's not universal that there's a six-month marriage prep requirement.
Every diocese has its own requirements, but also its own marriage preparation.
In fact, we as parents are primarily responsible for both forming our kids in what they need to have a healthy marriage and supporting our kids once they are married. That's really our job.
Spiritually and emotionally, and helping them to understand what Catholic marriage really is, not just by telling them, but by accompanying them through it.
So, for example, you know, when our adult children were dating or even got engaged, you know, we were praying with them on a regular basis about their relationship. Lord, please bless them and help them to have the relationship that you want. Let us be a good example to them and a good support to them in all of this. And let us really draw closer together through this whole process and even in the challenges that we face as we move toward this wedding. You know, you need to be praying with them like that before and after the wedding. You need to be making sure that you and your husband are working really hard to be an example of a great Catholic marriage. That doesn't mean you have to have all your problems sorted out, but it means you have to be witnessing to graceful ways to manage those problems. So going to regular marriage encounter, reading good resources on faithful, godly Catholic marriage, and passing those resources and ideas on to your kids so that you can really not lecture them, not nag them, but share in the journey with them. You know, it's very easy to kind of get caught up in, oh my gosh, this is changing so fast and I'm scared about it. And that's normal. That's natural. I get that. But don't give away your power by saying, well, the church let me down by not having a 6 month. What does 6 months do?
It gives you time to have conversations with them and all of that. But you've got this time. You've got the rest of their lives to help form them, to accompany them in this, to move along the way. I mean, right now, everything is up in the air with churches are basically trying to say, we're sorry you've had to wait for over a year, couples who are actually wanting good Catholic marriages. Let's see what we can do. So you're wasting your energy by being angry at your parish for this. Put that energy toward, just as we were saying, listening to the tugging of the Holy Spirit on your sleeve and saying, Lord, how do you want me to accompany this couple to help them be everything they can be as a Catholic married couple, which is actually what you're witnessing to and testifying to when you attend the sacrament of their marriage. That's what we do. That's why we go to see someone get married. It's not to watch. It's to actively commit to supporting them and helping them.
Karen, I'd like you to go to our bookstore at CatholicCounselors.com and check out For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, and also Praying For and With Your Spouse. And I'd like you to read those with your husband and really start talking about what it would mean for you to really be the model that you want to be, and then how you guys can support your daughter and her husband in living out those principles as well. I think that taking up that role of discipling your adult children is going to help you overcome the frustration you feel and the powerlessness that you're experiencing. Those both are available at CatholicCounselors.com. Thanks for the call, Karen, and congratulations.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.